Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Ya Allah. Ya Rahman. Ya Rahim. Shukriya e haafizo istikar ho karte ada hifz quran ke liye Allah ne tumko chuna
shukriya e haafizo istikar ho karte ada حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے ہم کو چنا
دس عزیزوں کے سفارش کا تمہیں مجدہ ملا اس سے بڑھ کر حفظ قرآن کا بھلا کیا ہو سلا دس عزیزوں کے سفارش کا تمہیں مجدہ ملا اس سے بڑھ کر حفظ قرآن کا بھلا کیا ہو سلا مل گیا ہے رب سے دس بے آسروں کو آسرا مل گیا ہے رب سے دس بے آسروں کو آسرا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا
شکریہ اے حافظوں اس کا رہے کرتے ادا
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum and welcome to another beautiful midday edition with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. It's just gone 6 minutes past 12 Central African time and we hope that you are in the best of spirit, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, today we're going to be discussing the importance of, you know, everybody, not everyone is blessed to memorize the Noble Quran. And it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of patience coming from the parents as well. You know, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them everything of the best in this world and the akhirat. For those whose parents sacrifice their times in the mornings, and we also make dua to the ustads who took their time out to encourage and to impart in teaching this knowledge to the students. Becoming a huffaz is very important, and also is a very big step and a big role that one undertakes. And when you become a hafiz, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not many people, some people attempt to become a huffaz, but Allah knows best as to why they don't complete it. Some of them complete 2 paras, some of them complete 5 paras, some of them complete maybe 15. I know of some people that completed 28 paras, but couldn't finish the last 2. It's all in the divine will of Almighty Allah. And, you know, by listening to your favorite reciters, you tend to learn different surahs and how you can recite it and imitate the way they read. And in that way, by reciting the surahs, by reciting these masnoon duas also, you tend to memorize it. And, you know, I salute and I take my, like, you know, you say take your hat off, take your topi off for the students and the huffaz who perform the Taraweeh Salah during the month of Ramadan. It's not an easy task to stand on the Musalla and to perform the Taraweeh in front and perform and lead the congregation in the Salah for thousands or maybe hundreds of people that come to the Masajid and to perform. And you know, you're standing on the Musalla and you must know now you are starting from Alif Lam Mim, from Surah Fatiha, Surah Baqarah, and you are going to be on that Musalla for the next 29 or 30 days. Now some masajids finish 27 days, some finish for 29 days. And I commend those people who actually stand on the Musalla and perform that Salah. And you know, it is human error, and it is only human that when we are performing that Salah, or when the Hufaz is performing that Salah, and it's natural to have that fear in you, because now you are nervous. Yes, when you're going out or you're traveling across the country and you are now a man, a visitor, a musafir, and somebody will tell you that, you know, I performed the Salah, then like that, you're not so nervous. But here you are now standing in a masjid and masajid, and you're performing that Salah in front, leading the congregation of the hundreds of people. And I take my topi off for these Hufaz who actually take their time out, and you know, and they're trying to perfect the recitation of the Noble Quran. And with that being said, we'd like to welcome our resident alim, Hadhrat Mulana Zaid Khan. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Haji Suleiman, mashallah, good to join you.
Jazakallah khairan. Mulana, I recently found out something, right? Obviously you would know, right? I found that as a layman, the difference in the pronunciation with alim and alim. An alim is someone who causes taklif, right?
With it, yes.
An alim is someone who causes taklif. But an alim, with a'im, is someone who imparts knowledge.
So if you, in the Quran Sharif, adhabun alim.
Adhabun alim. Now, you know, like with us, right? Not from an alim perspective, right? But if you are addressing someone, you say, you know that alim over there. Not realizing the importance of pronunciation for those words and how you can change a meaning to it. And I was having a discussion with a mufti, and I mentioned those two words in the same sentence. So he told me that, yes, I'm the first one that you mentioned, the alim. I said, but mufti sahab, what you mean? Is it not the same? He says, no. The first one you mentioned with a hamza. The second one you mentioned with the ayn. Then the first one is the one who causes harm to a person. So yes, I'm that person. I say, astaghfirullah, mufti sahab. How can you say something like that there? So it's something that we can all learn from it. And you know, when you're addressing someone, even when you say ulama, I don't know if there's a pronunciation or there's a change in word when you say ulama and ulama.
No, they're not all words,
right?
But still, like you say, we should focus on pronunciation. It is now you speak to those who are in the senior category, and it's difficult for them. Like now in madrasa, in our maktab, we busy with those two students come, alhamdulillah, Abdullah and Ubaidullah. So we busy with tajweed. They go to a homeschooling.
Right.
The homeschooling name is madrasa. I think madrasa Abu Bakr or something.
Right.
So we focus, try to not repeat things. So there we want to focus on other things. So currently we're busy with the qualities of each letter.
Right.
Each letter of the. And I asked them yesterday, show me one book for all the English alphabets which can tell you, which has so much of details just for every letter. And this, you won't find it in any other language. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun," Brother Suleiman, I heard you speaking now about the Huffaz.
Yeah.
This is the honor that Allah Azawajal gives to the Huffaz. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse number 9, that we reveal the reminder. The Quran Sharif has different names. Al-Dhikr is one of the names of the Quran Sharif. So Al-Furqan is another name. So we have revealed this reminder and we have taken it upon ourselves to protect the Quran Sharif, La Hafidun. From this, Ya Allah Azawajal has blessed you, O Hafidh, with this name, with this quality, Hafidh. You are the protector of the Quran Sharif. That is why we tend to just take it so often. I've got a brother, he's a Hafidh, but I'll call him by his name. Rather, I should call him Hafidh, so and so. Allah is granted, and it's also a reminder for him then, hey, I'm a Hafidh. So they are granted great honor for the parents. They are granted great honor too. Recently, we said on one of the hadith programs, I don't know if you heard it, Haji Suleiman, that there was this one brother. Now he's a brother, probably wasn't even baligh that time. His father just took him and he placed him in Darul Uloom in the Dia, Mufti Hashim Bawda Sahib's madrasa. And it was during the COVID period. Shortly after that, he passed away. Allah Azawajal forgive him and grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So one day I was walking and then he called me and then he said, are you the one that does the news flash? And he said he loves our news because we just tackle these rogue Israelis and all of that.
Sure.
So one day he said, I must come for his Hifz Jalsa. He finished his Hifz Jalsa. There they announced that this father passed away just shortly after putting him in madrasa, in Darul Uloom. He didn't see him complete. This son of his then completes and he becomes a hafidh. The rewards, he's sitting there in the qabr and he's enjoying it, inshallah. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll have a crown on his head. All of this is done because of you became a hafidh and that persevering of that son of his. Allah Azawajal grant them Jannah. So this is a, as you've said, the pronunciation we focused on, and I was speaking about the, imagine each letter is preserved, protected. That's the meaning of La Hafidun. It is the pronunciation, it is the grammar of Arabic. That is why there is no language that's grammar is protected like Arabic is protected. The grammar, the details, there's books and books just explaining the formation of the sentences. Then there's different sciences. One day I was just in the initial years of the Alim course, our Honorable Ustad, he's a master of Arabic. And I say, you won't find this in the entire of South Africa. Hazrat Mulana Abdul Kudusab, Tamad Barakatuh. He asked me, what do you have a passion for? So I said, Quran Sharif. He looked at me and said, what do you mean Quran Sharif? In Quran, everything is from Quran Sharif. Tafsir, this, that. So there's so many just related to the Quran Sharif. And as you mentioned, here we should seek to pronounce the letters correctly. With one, sometimes, if you just a quick example, if you take Za, Sin, Sod. Za, Sin, Sod. Right? Just by practicality, we sing. So if you say Za, you'll see your tip of your tongue, it touches
the palate.
It touches Thanaya Sufla. Thanaya Sufla is here, your two teeth here in front, the bottom. So the two bottom teeth. And it also touches the two top teeth. So Za, Sin, Sod. These three have, it comes from one makhraj. Makhraj means where is that letter, where does it come out from?
Yeah.
Where is it pronounced from? So if I'm reading in the Quran Sharif, like yesterday, the student recited Yasir, but it was Yasir. You heard the difference.
Yeah.
Yasir with a sod,
yeah.
That's wrong. So I said, it's Yasir with a seen. So we say, but it comes from the same makhraj, same place. How then do you differentiate? So you look at the qualities. So here you will say, in this year, in sod, it's got the quality of itbaq. Itbaq means it's got that, it's, you'll see seen, sod, it's got that strength. So it's got this isti'la which means that it's got that high-pitched sound. So sod and seen, a bit low-pitched. Now, how to identify it? It's with the qualities. So now we have our senior people and they're busy now saying, how is this? How are we going to learn this at this late age? But it's simple. See, you just make effort according to your means and how you can. And inshallah, Allah Azawajal will give you tawfiq. You don't have to become despondent. You don't have to. Haji Suleiman, I'll share this with you also. Once we went to this house, and this was many years back where we didn't hear much about Shiism and all this. And this uncle is there and he's saying to my father, I was with my father, he's saying to my father, I don't know what's wrong with my mother. She reads the Quran Sharif, but she doesn't understand it. What's wrong with her? So already there we were starting to raise some red flags to say there's something wrong here. And then eventually it played out that the grandfather passed away when my father went with my uncle, who was quite aware of the Shia leaders. He said, hey, this is a Shia funeral. We better run from here. So they went and then they realized who this family actually is. But he made the statement. And this, it demotivates a person. I don't understand the Quran Sharif. But still, then you look at the hadith. Haji Suleiman, you know the hadith also, Fadaila Amal, Man qara harfan min kitabillah, whoever reads one letter from the Quran Sharif, it is multiplied for him in reward 10 times. And then what example Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives? He gives the example, Alif Lam Mim. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I do not say Alif Lam Mim is a harf. Alifun harfun, lamun harfun, wa mimun harfun. Alif is a harf, lam is a harf, mim is a harf, each one is a harf. Each time you're going to recite, it's going to be multiplied 10 times. Go ask any mufassir, go ask any great scholar, what is the meaning of alif, lam, mim? The opening of Surah Al-Baqarah, alif, lam, mim. Allah Azza wa Jal then says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that which is there is absolutely no doubt in. They will tell you, Allahu أَعْلَمُ بِمُرَادِهِ, only Allah Azza wa Jal knows its true meaning. Ya Mufassirin will say this, that, but ultimately, only Allah Azza wa Jal knows the meaning. So what does this tell us? It tells us that you are reading something that you don't even understand, yet you are still getting rewards. So we still recite the Quran Sharif. Yes, like you said earlier, Haji Suleiman, that you listen to different programs, Mufti Saab's programs, tafsir is there, it's for you to benefit from. And you can understand the Quran Sharif through his understanding because he studied everything that makes and alerts one towards the meaning of it. So by you listening, you're getting the message. These great scholars, Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab, Haji Suleiman, he is a master in tafsir. Make dua, inshallah it happens, but they're currently busy with it. They're putting together his tafsir. But he would just give us glimpses of different verses. And the way it's so simplified, they come down to your level so you understand it. Like, I always give you this example, and the listeners probably heard it in the other programs. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Haji Suleiman, you know the translation of it.
Even on my show, Molana, when I play the 99 names, I start my show, my Naat Qiraat show. I always start it with the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I always say that, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. Verily, the remembrance of Almighty Allah brings peace, sukoon, and contentment to the heart.
True, exactly.
And Molana, on another note, with regards to the Huffaz.
Wait, before you go to that, let me just... Okay. So, Mufti Ridha al-Haq Saab on this verse, he just adds this here, A taqwiyat al-qulub. A means the meaning of this is. And he adds one word, taqwiyat al-qulub. What's the meaning of taqwiyat al-qulub? It strengthens the heart. So, you in the morning, you're making your dhikrullah, you are sitting in seclusion, you are taking Allah's name. What is it doing? It's strengthening your heart. Is that not so? So once your heart is strengthened now, who can drop you? Which missile can drop you? Sheikh Ahmed Yasin, we did it on the 1st of Safar, hellfire missiles at him. But his heart is content. He's not worried. These Palestinians, their hearts are content. So when your heart is strengthened, then you find contentment. So Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq and understanding. Mafa, I cut you off.
Jibana, there's some riwayat with regards to a hufaz or somebody who is on the path of becoming a hufaz. Na? And when he passes away, Allah Ta'ala will make it such that he will like complete the Quran in the grave. Is there any factual behind this, Yamana?
Gee, so it's based on this, that innamal a'malu bin niyat. So his intention was to become a hafid. So as long as this remained his intention, my grandfather, he was an alim, he passed away over 100, they lost track of his age. It happened before. If you look at Sheikh Ahmed Yasin, they say he was born in, his passport showed 1929, but he himself said, I was born in 1938 or 1936. So with him, my grandfather passed away over 100, but he wasn't a hafid. He was an alim, but not a hafid. And but till his late 90s, he was trying to learn the Quran Sharif off by heart. Our Honorable Ustad, Mufti Muhammad Hassan, and now we get Mufti Hassan Ali in the morning. So Mufti Muhammad Ali, Damat Barakatuhu, he taught us Tirmidhi and other great, great kitabs. So Hidayah, all of this. He told us, now we were just about to complete the cause. We're not alims. We say we completed the cause. What's the cause? It's you get enough education now to go and explore other kitabs and open and be your student for life now. So when we were finishing, then he said that same Ramadan that he's going to be forming Bawi. But people knew that he's not a hafid, but he's Sheikhul Hadith. And they want. So we used to see him every day. When we go for afternoon classes, we used to walk in the classroom, first period, in the afternoon, and he's reading Quran Sharif. But little did we know, he's practicing, memorizing, and he used to go home and read to his family every day. And just recently, he became a hafid. He completed his hifz. So that is motivation, that you never ever feel shy. Haji Suleiman, there were times where the ustad will tell us, look, here's the narrator. The narrator is 60 years of age. The student is 90 years. This was back then in the golden ages. Yes. So there's, why do we have this? And this is something we need to address. Why do we feel shy to learn? You can tell us, Haji Suleiman. Is it because perhaps the ulama are not approachable? Or what's the reason that people feel shy to learn?
Well, honestly, on that academic level, I cannot answer it.
I'm saying as you, like just say you want to learn a new masala, okay, but I see you, when you want to know something, you just pick up the call, you phone one mufti. But not everyone's like that.
Gee.
So what's the reason?
I'm not sure. Maybe everyone else is different, Molana. Maybe some other people are too involved in dunya activities, that the dunya has engulfed them in such a way that they feel like they got no time. Mm. I'm not saying for everybody. Maybe some people want to learn. Mm. They want to seek that knowledge. But because of the time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on time. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr, is a loss unto mankind.
Mm.
You know? So that's how we must also choose our time wisely as to how we want to use it in the right way.
Mm.
In the correct way.
Sometimes I feel people feel like they embarrassed to ask. But for me personally, if someone comes to me and asks me a question, if I know the answer, I will educate. And I feel happy that it's not because of money or not because... It's just that you are able to help someone in that particular situation. But it becomes disturbing. And one mufti had mentioned this a few years ago. He said before, the people, the elders, they used to ask because with the objective to learn. Nowadays, people are asking with the objective of opposing or with the objective of asking, raising questions. But it's not the true sincereness to ask, what must I do in this situation? And sometimes something is bothering us. And I find this many times. Something is bothering me. And alhamdulillah, we have our muftis here. We can just ask questions. And you just think to yourself, but so long it was bothering me, why didn't I just go and ask it in the first place? And they already, you find a solution and you deal with it. So,
Gee, no, 100%, Morana, you are correct in what you're saying. I think we mustn't have this fear of an alim or an ulama or a mufti, for that matter, that they are not approachable. You know, oh yes, they are a beacon of knowledge. But at the same time, we must also humble ourselves. And when you walk towards them, they're not going to push you away. They say, you know, I've got no time for you. When you greet them, they'll greet you with the same respect. They say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They say, Wa alaikum salam. They say, maaf for disturbing you, Mufti Saab. I know you're very busy, you are heading out. But if Mufti Saab can please give me 2 minutes of your time, I just need to find out a masail or a fatawa that Mufti Saab can give me. So either the Mufti will say, okay, no problem, I will be able to assist you. Or he'll tell you, I'm just going in for a program now, which will take about 15 to 20 minutes. If you are still around, with all means, by all pleasure, I will be able to assist you when you are coming out, inshallah. That's the most simplest answers that they will ever give you. They will never, ever push you away and tell you, listen, you know what, I can't help you with this here. I'm not that level or I'm not in that category academically to give you an answer like that then. But they'll give you a simple answer where you won't feel hurt. Because at times, when you ask a mufti, and if you feel that they gave you an answer that it will hurt your feelings, now in the back of your head, you're going to say, hey, you know what? I went and asked this mufti for an answer. He gave me such an answer. I'm not going to recommend him to anybody. If somebody phones and says, hey, you know what, Brahaji Suleiman, I need an answer, or do you have any Mulana's number, Mufti's number you can give? That Mufti is not going to come in your head, because why, you had a bad, one sour incident with him. You're not going to recommend him, right? So that's what I'm saying, you must never have that impression of an alim, that they will ever push you away. Maybe he was busy and you felt that, you know what, he did you wrong. But you must never, because remember, they've studied many years to get to where they are. And Mulana can vouch, and Allah Ta'ala says that if you hurt a banda of mine, a slave of mine, then you are waging war with Almighty Allah.
It's Hadith Qudsi. Rasul, so Hadith Qudsi, we understand. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoting that Allah azza wa jal said, but this is not mentioned in the Quran Sharif, that if you hurt my, or you cause any pain upon any one of my friends, then I announce war with this person. And you'll see in the Quran Sharif, one place it is for interest, and another place here, waging war with Allah, is at this place here. That من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Whoever wages war, or whoever holds any of this hatred, or goes to and tries to cause pain to any one of my friends, then I announce war. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. And what is war? Before we end this program, this portion, in fact, what is war with Allah? This is what we need to understand. What is war with Allah? And also for interest, same punishment. War with Allah does not mean there is going to be hellfire missiles being blasted at you. That doesn't mean it. War with Allah can even mean that your senses give up or put you into such a situation where you can't understand the condition that you are facing. You can't understand why you are in this particular condition. That is war with Allah. And this you see many a time. Allah Azza wa Jal protect us. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protect us. And that is why we beg our listeners that no matter what financial condition you are in, never ever use interest. It's going to come back to bite you, and it will bite you in this form where you will be left to suffer and nobody will be there for you. This is war with Allah also. Never ever. It's stick it out. Make a plan. Do business. Do halal. Whatever it is. But never ever pay for interest. Earning interest is not so common anymore. But paying the banks also for interest. If you did engage, then what must you do to come out of it? Say you bought a house and it was all, it's paid up now and everything, but you took it on a bond initially and that. So you make tawbah, tawbatun nasuha, and then you come out of it, give out sadaqah. And this also, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will. And by earning interest, of course, if you earned it, or I took a loan from you, or you took a loan from me, Haji Sulaiman, and I said to you, here's 1,000, but I want 2,000 back. Allah forbid. You gave me, so you paid me back 1,000 and you added 1,000. That 1,000, because I took it from you, now I'll have to give it back to you. That's it. And another masala also we can learn here is, many as growing up, we perhaps took items without people's, we didn't notify people. We just took it, stole it, went into shops, did things, shoplifting, all of this, and we can't remember, recall. How do you come out of this if you want to make tawbah? Mufti Muhammad Ali Saab, Damat Barakatuh, who had answered this question. And he said that the way to come out of it is tawbah and never return back to that sin. And the other way, because now you don't know who to pay back, so there what you'll do is you'll give out sadaqah. And until you like qada, salah, which you do not know, you'll keep on performing till you feel satisfied. Like this, you'll keep on giving sadaqah with that intention until you satisfy that you paid that. Jazakumullah khairan. We enjoyed our time with you, Haji Sulaiman. Make dua for us. It's nice sometimes because we're not the host. That's why, you know, sometimes when we come on or we're going off, we say, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, because we're always used to being the host. Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us, give the Ummah peace, afiyat, make dua for Palestine, etc. And the rest of the world, Sudan also, major, major humanitarian crisis. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Say Jazakallah khairan to Maulana for those imparting beautiful words. May Allah SWT keep you safe with afiyah. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbil alameen. Our next segment is just gone 25 minutes to 1 Central African time. It is going to be our recipe segment. Don't forget, you can send in your messages on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Those are the numbers that you can send in your recipes, and inshallah, we will read out your recipes.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Zindagi do pal ki hai, Zindagi do pal ki hai. کس کو دنیا میں خبر احباب اپنے کل کی ہے اس لیے بس یاد رکھنا زندگی دو پل کی ہے کس کو دنیا میں خبر احباب اپنے کل کی ہے اس لیے بس یاد رکھنا زندگی دو پل کی ہے ہم کو قدرت نے یہ قدرت دی ہے چن لے خود سے ہم راستے نیکی بدی کے کر دیے ہم کو بہم ہم کو قدرت نے یہ قدرت دی ہے چن لے خود سے ہم راستے نیکی بدی کے کر دیے ہم کو بہم جس بھی رستے کو چنے مرضی یہ اب فیصل کی ہے اس لیے بس یاد رکھنا زندگی دو پل کی ہے کس کو دنیا میں خبر احباب اپنے کل کی ہے اس لیے بس یاد رکھنا زندگی دو پل کی ہے मौत ने जो दी है मोहलत वो गनीमत जान ले, उम्र देखी कब है उसने खुद ही आंखें देखिए। मौत ने जो दी है मोहलत वो गनीमत जान ले, उम्र देखी कब है उसने खुद ही आंखें देखिए। मौत बूढ़े की किसी बच्चे की आंकड़ी की है, इसलिए बस याद रखना जिंदगी दो पल की है।
20 minutes to 1 Central African time. We're going to be starting off with our first recipe that came in. And this recipe is, I think it's a casserole. I'm just going to check it 1 minute. Oh, yeah, it's a cottage pie recipe. So firstly, you're going to need 500 gram mince of your preference. 500 gram mince of your preference. Then you're going to cook the mince and add the normal masala. Add a tomato puree, some ground tomato, and grounded tomato. So you're going to cook the mince, add a normal masala, add tomato puree, and some ground tomato. Keep slightly moist. Keep slightly moist. Then you're going to steam 1.5 cups of frozen mixed vegetable seasons. Then you're going to steam 1.5 cups of frozen mixed vegetables. Then you're going to season it with salt and pepper. Season it with salt and pepper. Then you're going to make a mash with 2 potatoes, or you can add more if you want. Not necessarily 2 potatoes, but if you want to add more, then you are most welcome to do so. Make a mash with 2 or more potatoes. Grease the casserole. And you're going to spread the mince at the bottom. Then you're going to spread your vegetables over, and then your mash. And then you're going to grate the cheese. And then heat in the oven. So this seems to be a quick and easy recipe for a cottage pie. So I'm going to repeat this recipe. It's 500 gram mince of your choice. Then you're going to cook the mince and add normal masala, add tomato puree, and some ground tomato. You're going to keep it slightly moist. Then you're going to steam 1.5 cups of frozen mixed vegetables. Steam 1.5 cups of frozen mixed vegetables. You're going to season with salt and pepper. Season with salt and pepper. Make a mash with 2 or more potatoes. Make a mash with 2 or more potatoes. Then you're going to grease the casserole. Spread the mince at the bottom. Spread the mixed vegetables over, and then your mash. Then you're going to grate the cheese over it, and then you're going to heat it in the oven. So that was the recipe for a cottage pie. Our next recipe is for mutton chops with sauce. So you're going to have 1 kilo chops, 1 tablespoon crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon black pepper, 1 tablespoon black pepper. Then you're going to have half a tablespoon of fine salt. You're going to have a half a tablespoon of fine salt or to taste. Then you're going to have a juice of 1 lemon. Juice of 1 lemon. A few cloves, cinnamon sticks, ilachi. A few cloves, cinnamon sticks, ilachi. 1 large chopped onion. 1 large chopped onion. 1 cup tomato sauce. One and a half tablespoon of fine red chilies. 1.5 tablespoon of fine red chilies. 1 tablespoon of fine dhania. 1 tablespoon of fine dhania. 1 teaspoon of arad. 1 teaspoon of arad. And you're going to take some chopped green dhania. So the method you ask, you're going to marinate the chops in the garlic, ginger. You're going to marinate the chops in the garlic, ginger, pepper, salt and lemon juice, and rub well. So you're going to marinate the chops in the garlic, the ginger, the pepper, salt and lemon juice, and you're going to mix it well. Then you're going to heat the oil with the cloves, ilachi, and the cinnamon, and add the chopped onions and the chops. So you're going to heat the oil with cloves, ilachi, cinnamon, chopped onions, and the chops. Allow it to simmer on a low heat until the chops are done. Allow to simmer on a low heat until the chops are done. Then you're going to add the tomato sauce chilies. You're going to add the tomato sauce, the chilies, the dhania, and the arad. You're going to add the tomato sauce, the chilies, the dhania, and the arad. Then you're going to cook on a medium heat for 5 to 7 minutes. Cook on a medium heat for 5 to 7 minutes. Then finally, you're going to add in the fresh cut dhania. So that is the recipe for the mutton chops with sauce. So let me just give it to you again. You're going to need 1 kilo chops, 1 tablespoon of crushed garlic, 1 teaspoon of crushed ginger, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/2 tablespoon of fine salt, the juice of 1 lemon, a few cloves, cinnamon sticks, a few cloves, cinnamon sticks, and ilachi, 1 large chopped onion, 1 large chopped onion, 1 cup of tomato sauce, 1.5 tablespoon of red chilies, fine red chilies, 1 tablespoon of fine dhania, 1 tablespoon of arad, and some chopped green dhania. You're going to marinate the chops in the garlic, ginger, pepper, salt, and lemon juice, and you're going to mix it well. Then you're going to heat the oil with the cloves, ilachi, the cinnamon, and the chopped onions, and the chops. You're going to then allow it to simmer on a low heat until the chops are done. Then you're going to add the tomato sauce, the chilies, the dhania, and the arad. Then you're going to cook on a medium heat for 5 to 7 minutes. Then finally, you're going to add in the fresh cut dhania. So those are your two recipes for today. That is the mutton chops with sauce and the cottage pie recipe. We say Jazakallah Khairan to Maulana Zaid in the beginning of the show for our nasiha on with regards to the Huffaz and the importance of your ustads and the respect that you must have for them. And from the team of the midday show with myself, Brother Sulaiman, is Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. and the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Duniya har ja dhoom macha de shaan sahaba.